WPFW Washington.
Good evening, Washington, D.C., and America, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Join the fray as we broadcast live from the golden studios of WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. Join Terry, Mark, and Garland as they boldly go where no commentators have gone before to inform, even save the nation with wit, wisdom, and sagacity on the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening and welcome to another... Oh, are you there, Mark?
I am here. Good evening. Welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
There we go.
Mark Levine. I'm here with...
I don't think you're here with me, Mark.
I'm not?
No. This is Garland Nixon. But I can't see you. But I hear your voice, so I think your spirit must be here, kind of floating around me, although you're not here in physical form.
That's true. I'm not here in physical form, but I understand that Terry D. Kester is also appearing by telephone.
We're working on that. Okay. He's even more so in spiritual form. I think right now we'll need
well,
a meeting.
Well, you have my voice here. That's good. I'm actually up in New Orleans right now, the Big Easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on a little vacation, but I thought I would stop in and do the Raucous Caucus, and I'll be back in D.C. next week. We are in studio, or at least I'm not. Garland's in studio.
I was about to say, what do you mean we, buddy?
I'm out in New Orleans, and I forget where Terry is, but he should be calling in momentarily so he can join us. We have an important topic tonight, and that is the issue of guns. Now, we all know what happened in Colorado. Yet another crazy person in Colorado gave us one of the largest mass shootings in American history. A single man shot and killed a dozen people and injured another 58. So 70 people were shot by one person. And, of course, then comes all the issues. Everyone says, they can't do gun control. There's nothing we can do about it. It's a tragedy. We shouldn't discuss guns because that would politicize the issue. And then the National Rifle Association goes and gives millions of dollars to various politicians. But tonight, Garland and Terry, when I get you, I want to talk about whether we can do something about guns in America, whether it is politically possible, and really deal with some hard statistics and facts on guns, because I don't think a gun is like a hurricane. I think a gun death is, well, hurricane deaths are preventable too,
but
hurricanes we can't prevent. I think we can prevent the kind of shooting, or at least lessen the impact of crazy people getting guns.
Well, and also, we certainly, for those of you who are maybe listening or may just happen to have stumbled across 89.3 FM, this is 89.3 FM WPFW in Washington, D.C., and Mark and Terry, wherever he is, and I, we're on every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. We're the Raucous Caucus, and we have a blast, and all month from 7 to 8, we'll be in studio, and, some of us will be in studio randomly, but you'll get to hear our voices. Okay, Mark.
Well,
where were you? Mark,
take your calls.
You left out the
our break is when we traditionally start taking calls.
Yes.
At 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893, and you can add your two cents on this issue. So I got a lot to talk about.
Well, Mark, you left out the Wisconsin shooting recently, with the where someone walked into the temple where the a number of Sikhs were worshiping. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. But go ahead, give the details.
Well, and they basically came in. The man was a well-known white supremacist. He had a history of, you know, he didn't have a history of violence, but he had a propensity towards violence and racism, et cetera. And, you know, for whatever reason, he chose these people. I guess it must have been the turbans. Sikhs wear turbans. And he went in and just started shooting innocent people. Eventually, he was shot by the police. But if I'm not mistaken, I think somewhere around 5 or 6 people died.
Yeah, and that just occurred just a few hours ago. So this goes on and on and on. And the question is whether anything can be done about it. I remember just this year when a crazy young fellow in Arizona was shooting people, and he shot Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, and he killed a half dozen people. And at that time, a lot of people don't remember how he was stopped. He was stopped because he had to change his bullets. He had to actually take out one high-capacity magazine. He had a 30 bullet capacity magazine and transfer it to another. And that transition took about a second and a half, but that second and a half was enough time for some of the people who were still alive, for some of the people who hadn't been shot, to jump on him, to hold him down, brave American citizens, and to prevent him from switching to another 30-bullet capacity magazine to kill another or shoot another 30 Americans. And so one of the main things I want to talk about, and there's a whole bunch of different regulations I think we need in place, but one of them is whether we need high-capacity magazines. The guy in Colorado, and I don't know what the guy in Wisconsin had yet, Garland, maybe you can fill us in, but I do know that the guy in Colorado had a 100-bullet capacity magazine. He shot 70 people, and if it hadn't jammed, thank God that the gun manufacturer did a lousy job, if the bullets hadn't jammed, he no doubt would have killed a lot more people sitting in a movie theater, just sitting there trying to watch a Batman film and getting shot dead like ducks in a shooting gallery. I want to know why we have high-capacity ammunition magazines. I support the right of hunters to have guns. I'm not somebody who would ban all guns. I think it's a state's rights issue. I think if D.C. wants to ban them, fine, but Montana has a lot of hunting, and they're not going to want to ban them. But so if hunters want to hunt, that's fine. But if you can't shoot a deer in 10 bullets, first of all, you're not a very good hunter, and you shouldn't be hunting anyway. But second of all, the deer's going to run away. You can't even use 100 bullets on a deer.
Right.
That second and a half to change your magazine could just save a lot of lives, and I don't understand why we have that law.
And clearly,
let me ask you a question, though.
Wait a minute. I think I just heard a voice from the great beyond. Could it be?
Beyond, yes, beyond Washington. Safe, safe, beyond Washington. I'm right
where are you, Terry?
I'm ducking bullets right now, and I'm headed to Aurora to see if I can duck bullets out there.
You're not going to Colorado.
I might be. Who knows? Hey, did you guys know, and it's good to be talking to you and to hear you too, did you know
Thank
that
you,
America
Jeff.
Has the highest gun ownership rate in the world? An average
One out of three Americans owns a firearm. I know
an
that.
An average of 88 guns per 100 people.
How
insane
is that?
Well, that's because the people that have guns have a lot of them.
Yeah, well, they need a lot.
One out of three Americans owns a gun.
Who
but that also means that two out of three Americans don't own a gun, and that is part of the reason why I think we can ban things like high-capacity magazines. They were banned. A lot of people think, well, there's nothing that can be done. High-capacity magazines were part of the assault weapons ban that was in place from 1994 to 2004 until George Bush and the Republican Congress let it expire. And I think we've seen just with Arizona and Colorado, and again, I don't know all the facts of the killing in Wisconsin yet, but just with those, I think we can see that lives would have been saved if high-capacity magazines were banned.
Who was the politician from Texas a few years ago when they were talking about how many shotguns do you own? And he said, oh, you know, not as many as I want. Do you remember that? It was during a race.
Vaguely.
Yeah,
probably Rick Perry.
Yeah, one of those. It was definitely from Texas. Well, Terry, I could tell you, you know, based on a comment like that, he'd most likely be from Texas.
Yeah.
But, you know, the issue is, the you know, in our society, what do we want to put up with? And, you know, because if you allow certain things, then you open the door for other things. And what this speaks, you know, this speaks about our society, the fact that we're going to allow people to have 100-round magazines and fully automatic, semi-automatic weapons, which are, you know, almost as bad as fully automatic. But it says, in reality, here's what it says. Our society is willing to put up with a few mass murders every now and then, as long as we can have as many, you know, an unlimited amount of weapons and firearms. You know, it's like there's a real trade-off. You're going to get both. And for some reason, our society has decided, okay, you know what? A few mass murders every now and then, I'll take it as long as I can keep, you know, my AR-15 and Tech 9.
And worse than that, there's a mythology in America. America's deluded. I mean, let's face it, we're actually deluded. And, you know, one of the mythologies is that the reason to have guns and the reason people have guns is for self-defense, and that we need to have guns for self-defense, and we have the right to self-defense. I would not necessarily argue with the implied or the theoretical right for self-defense, but the facts are that guns are very, very rarely ever used and ever used effectively in self-defense. Of course, it makes the media news as soon as something does happen
right.
like that. But
for That's
the
a
most
nice
part,
segue to my statistics, Terry.
Guns are used to kill members of your own family or friends or people that you know. That's what they're primarily used for.
That's actually a nice segue to my statistics. From the Center for Disease Control, the latest figures are 2005, which also tells you something else. Why are the latest figures only 2005? There were more than 30,000 firearm deaths in the United States in 2005.
1 year.
Of them, 16,000, or the slight majority, were suicides. People will never talk about suicides.
Right, right, right.
Suicides using a firearm. There were 12,250 murders. 12,250 murders. That gets us to about 28.25. And there were 600 justifiable defensive shootings by both police and citizens. And no one here is arguing that the police shouldn't have guns. It doesn't go and further divide, I wish it did, to see how many were justifiable shootings by police and how many by citizens. I suspect that there were more by police than citizens. What that tells you is that out of 30,000 firearm deaths, less than 5% were justifiable, and a good percentage of those were by the police.
Right, let me add this, and I would be willing to bet that a significant number of those the police fired because somebody else had a gun.
You,
you know, and pulled a gun, and the only reason they were...
Let me do the math right, not 5%, 2% were justifiable defensive shootings by both police and citizens, and then the remaining 1,500 or so were accidental deaths.
I would be surprised even if most of that 2%, I would doubt that the police were most of those shootings. Because the overriding fact is, again, that very, 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 very few police, and I'm sure, Garland, you could reflect on this, very few police ever find themselves in a situation where they have to fire their gun.
It's very, most police officers don't in their entire career. I can name one, me, 27 years, and I never fired my weapon.
Yeah.
Garland, yeah. Well, let me ask you something, because I people seem to have a misimpression sometimes when people want gun control. I want to be very clear here. I am not saying that the police don't need to be armed or that soldiers don't need to be armed. Soldiers need machine guns. I understand that. Police, frankly, to stop somebody like the guy in Colorado, I'll just say his first name. I don't want to dignify him by saying his last name, but James in Colorado, he had a bulletproof vest on. He was armored from head to toe. People have argued, well, what if the other people in the movie theater had been packing? If the other people in the movie theater had been packing in the middle of a movie screen where there's also fake bullets going on the movie screen in the soundtrack, in the darkness of a movie theater, trying to shoot this guy where he's got capacity magazine, he's got body armor on from head to toe, it's very likely that they would not have succeeded in taking him down, and frankly, more people would have been shot, and then the police, when they arrived on the scene, wouldn't even know who the bad guy was, would likely have taken out the good citizen who was trying to take down this madman.
I can't imagine.
Another issue.
Yeah, imagine, 400 people, you know, say 300 people in a movie theater, 300 people firing with weapons that have, maybe 11, 12 rounds each, and they're all firing. So you've got, you know, thousands and thousands of rounds flying around in the dark. We'd be lucky if anybody survived that.
And, it's part of that crazy delusion. Everybody thinks this is 310. America is about 310 to Yuma, okay, corral, whatever, that somehow with a shootout you would actually solve the problem. If Americans ever could get honest about any of their history, they would know for a fact that the Wild Wild West and all that shooting out did not solve any of the gun problems or the gun violence. It just never does.
Well, one of the things I can tell you back from when I was a police officer, deal with breaking and enterings and various other, very unfortunate things that happen when people come home and find someone in their house. But what you'd hear people say was many times people, well, I didn't get a security system or I didn't do anything because I have a gun. I thought I could protect myself. Well, let me say this. When people break into your house, crooks that break into your house, the number one thing they want is cash. They go to the bedroom to look around and see if they can find some cash or jewelry. Do you know what the number two thing they're looking for is?
A gun.
So people say, well, I have a gun in my house. I can protect myself. Well, number one, they're most likely going to break in when you're not there, because they want your stuff. But number two, they want to break in so they can get the gun. If you have guns, well, then that's all the more reason to break in, because they can sell them easy on the street. They can get a good price for them. And or, of course, they can use them for, nefarious activities of their own.
And I would even argue that, the police don't need to have guns, certainly not in all situations, and certainly not in other countries are they as armed as they are in our country. And I'm not disputing that there are times and places and situations where you do want some armed officers. I'm not questioning that whatsoever. But to have every single cop on every single beat with a gun, again, is part of our crazed culture, but it's not part of logic.
I think it is part of
our history and our culture. If you look at us compared to other countries, 80% of all gun murders in 23 industrialized nations put together. That's the United States and Canada and Great Britain and France and Germany, Japan, 23 industrialized nations. 80% of gun murders are right in here in the United States of America. That's a rate 40 times the rate of deaths of gun murders in Great Britain. Great Britain, as you say, Terry, they don't even, the police don't even usually have guns. They've got those bobby sticks because they don't have that culture that we do. And we have 40 times the rate of murder. That's not 40 times. We have actually about 240 times, but they have about one-sixth of the population. It's 40 times per capita, per person, than they have in Great Britain. And I think part of the reason is there is a mythology in America. There is the celebration of the Wild West in Hollywood, which, as you point out, Terry, was not very much like the real history of the Wild West. It is a movie.
Right.
In fact, it's kind of ironic that the Batman movie that the people were in, of course, featured a lot of gun battles back and forth. I'm not blaming the movie people, but I'm explaining that there's this culture. I also think it's interesting that most of these crimes tend to occur in the South and the West, where there's this culture of honor, where if you are dissed, for lack of a better word, if you are disrespected, then you feel like you've got to defend your honor, even if it means killing a bunch of people. So I think culture is definitely a problem, and I think it bears mentioning that after the incident in Colorado, gun sales went up in Aurora, Colorado, and across the nation.
Well,
and it should also be pointed out, since you brought up the idea of gun sales, that is the big factor that nobody will speak about. We have this incredible arms industry in this country. We are the world supplier of arms all across the board, whether it's jet fighters or whether it's, you know, pistols. It doesn't matter. We are the number one suppliers. It's our gun industry that has pushed this and lobbied this and pushed the NRA and everything else. It is profitable. That's the real sickness of our culture, is people are making tons of money in selling ammunition, guns, fancy magazines, everything else to support this culture of violence we got. And nobody talks about that.
Yes.
It's a huge industry.
Yeah, and the thing about it, if you look at it on a grand scale, the United States is a country that supplies more all the world with arms.
You were right the first time. You said United States is a company.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Freudian slip there. But we supply the world with fighter planes and guns and arms and things to everyone else. But, you know, it only makes sense that since what we're doing is we're kind of projecting who we are out onto everyone else, telling everyone else, you should have a gun, you should have a bomber, you should have this. Hey, you should be afraid somebody's going to attack you. And that's what we do at home in a smaller sense. And we tell everyone else, you have to have arms to protect your country or whatever. And then we kind of send the message to our people also throughout our society and our culture. Everyone, you have to have an arm. It's like we want every human being on earth to be armed as if that will bring peace or something.
And we are exporting violence, and not just in an official way with our military, but in an unofficial way. There are 10,000 Mexicans that die each year, not because of their gun laws. Their gun laws are pretty strict, but because Arizona gun shops sell to Mexican drug dealers any number of semi-automatic weapons with high-capacity magazines. And right now in Mexico, particularly the northern part, it's lawless. In fact, the drug dealers are more heavily armed than the police themselves. So we not only are teaching violence in America, we're exporting it worldwide, and doing so because the gun owners make massive profits. The gun shops, I should say, the gun manufacturers and gun shops make massive profits doing so, and they take those profits and they use them to buy the National Rifle Association politicians and to support the NRA, and then the NRA gets the politicians, and so it's all a nice little circle. One of the ways it was talked about to break that circle is to actually give liability for people who sell these weapons. You know, if you are a bartender and you serve somebody who is clearly drunk, and you see him go to his car, and he goes and he drives drunk and he kills somebody, the bartender can be held liable. But if you're a gun shop owner, and some guy walks in and says, I'm going to kill me 100 people, 100 Sikhs at that church, that mosque in temple in Wisconsin, he can say, all right, here are your guns, and he has no liability whatsoever. Of course, when that was proposed, the NRA jumped on it, and that never became law.
That's a really good point, Mark, because I remember, in fact, when I was a bartender in Pennsylvania, that, of course, you had to check everybody's ID.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons you did such a really good job of checking people's IDs, because you, the bartender, were liable. It was that simple. And if you didn't check the ID and you served a minor, you were the one that was going to get in trouble. That whole idea of liability is, of course, you know, just escaped from America entirely, unless, of course, you're arresting, you know, the average citizen, the average underclass, and poorer citizen. Then, of course, they're liable for everything.
And, you know, sadly, we're as a country, you know, as a people, we're very much duped, because we are told, you know, all these billions have to be spent. You know, 3,000 people died on September 11th. You know, we are told that we have to spend all of these untold billions to protect us because we could be killed by terrorists. You know, they may go to the local Walmart or do something. The reality is this. It's not the terrorists that are most likely going to be at the local Walmart or the local shopping center shooting people. It's going to be some, you know, deranged person who has a, you know, 100-round clip on an AR-15. We spend so much money. We spend, you know, what, $600-700 billion a year on the military because we are told, you know, some God only knows who, you know, is going to, we'll be invaded by, of all places, Iraq. You know, we hear these insane things that we have to spend so much on military. We have to spend so much on homeland security to protect our from these things where the odds, you know, we have a much better chance of getting, you know, struck by lightning or, you know, twice in the same day. But yet when it comes to something where 12,000 or more people are killed every year, thousands and thousands of people are killed, definitely killed, and we know we'll be killed again next year, we act as though that's just, oh, well, you know, that's the breaks. It's just something that happens.
There's an irony when you talk about the war on terror, Garland, because the government has spent all this time preparing a terrorist watch list. You cannot fly in America if you're on the terrorist watch list. But guess what? You can buy a gun. Osama bin Laden, if he were still alive, could walk into a gun shop in Arizona and say, I would like a gun, please. I would like a semi-automatic weapon with 100 magazine ammunition because I want to kill a bunch of Americans. And the gun shop owner says, pay me your money. Here's your gun. Because they could go through a background check at the gun shop. But the terrorist watch list is not enough to keep you off the background check. And frankly, at least you undergo a background check at the gun shop. If you go to a gun show, there's a gun show loophole. You can also buy online. Remember, this guy, James, crazy as he was, could buy enough explosives to bomb a small building. I mean, he bought over the mail, he bought some 10,000 rounds of ammunition, and he bought all kinds of explosives through the mail. 40% of all weapons are bought without background checks due to the gun show loophole and due to the fact that you can just order through the mail guns, ammunition, and explosives. I kind of hate to tell people that it's so easy, but you have to let people know that it's so easy so there's enough people out there to try to stop it politically.
And you've got to remember that Virginia, good old Virginia, just a few miles away from the station, is one of the biggest centers of those gun shows. And the what is the big convention center out in Fairfax County, where they have the gun show every year, which is actually one of the biggest in the United States gun shows. And in those gun shows, despite regulations and everything else, you can basically, and it's been tested, people have done this time and time again, journalists have done this, you can walk into those gun shows, and one way or another, you can get any single weapon you can imagine, short of an F-35.
Yeah.
Let me say this. People argue all the time that politically it's impossible to do gun control. And let's face it, the Democrats are running scared on this issue almost as much as the Republicans because they're afraid of the election of 1994, which I submit had nothing to do with guns. But in 1994, they did the assault weapons ban. They did close the gun ban high-capacity ammunition magazines. They actually did close the gun show loophole in the Senate for a time, but it never passed the House. John McCain even voted for it before he ran for president and switched again and suddenly became the NRA's favorite person. But let's be clear about what laws allow, because anytime you talk about gun control, and I know we're going to get to our callers soon at 202-588-0893.
5 minutes, we'll get to our callers.
People who are going to call and say, we don't need more gun control. We need stronger enforcement of the guns laws we have. That's the NRA standard line. Let me be very clear about the state of the law. If you are insane in America, you are certifiably mentally ill, you are schizophrenic and paranoid and violent, and you've committed several felonies, you can own a gun in America. All you do is go through the gun show loophole or you order online. So I'm not trying to ban guns for hunting. I'm not even trying to ban guns for self-defense. I'm trying to ban guns for the insane. I'm trying to ban guns for people who've committed felonies. I'm trying to ban high-capacity ammunition magazines. We have to get a license to drive a car. because cars can kill people. I think it's fair to say that you should have to get a license in America to own a gun, and many states do not require that. So that's just basic, reasonable gun control. So you gun lovers out there that I know are going to call in, remember, I'm not trying to take away your guns. If you are not a felon, if you are not crazy, if you're an adult and you can pass a license just like driving a car, then I'm fine with you owning a gun. Why don't you then turn around and support me in trying to ban crazy people from having a gun?
Well,
I understand your point entirely, Mark, and I agree with 90% of it, but I, at the same time, I don't think it's very realistic in the sense that Americans simply want to have whatever they want to have. And one of the things they want to have is guns. And it's the same thing in terms of their lust for money. Mm-hmm. If they have a gun that shoots 6 rounds, period, and you've got a gun that shoots automatically 9 rounds, well, they want 9 rounds.
They want 11.
If you've got a gun that shoots 45 rounds or 100 rounds or 1,000 rounds, everybody that knows about it wants a gun that shoots 100,000 rounds as well. We have this insanity of escalation of every single issue, be it horsepower, be it guns, be it ammunition, be it money. We're just a society that essentially is out of control on 1,500 different levels. It's really insane, and I can't imagine that, again, logic or reason is going to solve this problem.
Well, the other argument that they always use, guns don't kill people, people kill people. Well, you know, that's a false premise, because the argument is not whether guns or people kill people. The issue is whether or not a person with a gun has the ability to kill people quicker, easier, and more people. The issue, you know, as an example, with the guy with the 100 round clip. Number one, if he didn't have a gun, he could have came in and hit somebody in the head with something. Yeah, but I doubt very seriously if he did have a gun that he'd be able to kill a lot of people. So the idea that guns don't kill people, people kill people. Well, sure, but if you give him, let's say, a tank, he can kill a lot more people, or an atomic bomb. So it misses the point that depending on what tool you give a person, that decides the ability they have to take lives, number of lives, how quickly and how easily they can take lives. And the other thing is this, and many times what happens is you have the heat of passion. You have a person who's angry, they get their hand on a gun, and they shoot somebody because they're angry. Whereas if they didn't have that gun, they wouldn't be able to shoot the person.
Just imagine James with a kitchen knife, right, in Colorado. He might have been able to kill one person, maybe two. Maybe he could have killed one and injured another, but that would have been about it. There would not be 70 people shot. It's that simple. And one more thing before the callers come on. I know someone's going to raise the Second Amendment. I dare you to, because the constitutional history of the Second Amendment is very clear. It's all about protecting militias, the citizens' army, a well-regulated militia. This has nothing to do with a militia. And the Supreme Court is just dead wrong on that. And frankly, I think they know it, because for 230 years they ruled the other way, and then Scalia got on the court, and, well, there went the law.
The other thing about it is the Second Amendment says nothing about guns. And if those so-called constitutional purists say we want to go strictly by the Second Amendment, well, it says bear arms. If you say, well, that applies to guns, well, then certainly if you want to carry a bazooka or a shoulder-fired red-eye missile or whatever,
right,
based on that interpretation, if you can bear any arm you want, then you can certainly carry, you know, a weapon of mass destruction. If
no,
you can,
don't suggest that, Garland, please.
Yeah, you're right.
How hard it is to load a musket.
Yeah, well, guys, we're getting the high sign here, so we're gonna have to go. We're gonna do a PSA. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington, D.C.
Public libraries are among our most vital and precious community resources. Montgomery County, Maryland is fortunate to have 21 branch libraries, and they are supported by the Friends of the Library of Montgomery County. The Friends operate used bookstores in 3 locations in Wheaton, Rockville, and Gaithersburg. 100% of the proceeds from these bookstores benefit all Montgomery County libraries. In addition to the generous stacks of used books of both classic and contemporary vintage, these stores also stock stock audio and video recordings, including LPs, CDs, DVDs, and cassettes. They are open daily and gratefully accept donations of books and recordings. Contact www.folmc.org for hours of operation and store addresses, or call 240-777-0020 for further information.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Call in. We're talking about guns. Mark.
Yes. Welcome back to the Raucous Caucus. This is Mark Levine. I'm actually reporting from New Orleans, Louisiana, which is almost a free fire zone due to all the crime here caused by guns. Terry, where are you today?
I'm actually in the middle of Ohio.
Garland, you're in studio.
I'm in studio. We've got a couple callers if they're still on the line. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Jim.
Hey, this is Jim. How you doing?
Wonderful.
Hi, Jim.
This is a fantastic show. As always, Raucous Caucus is spot on everything that you're talking about. I just want to say that when I go hunting for rabbit in the Shenandoah Mountains, I gotta have an AK-47 or an M16. I can't kill that sucker. No. And just 2 points and then a question. The first point is that if enough progressive organizations and communities and mayors and governors and civil society organizations had a national conference and said, let's fix the gun control laws, I think the reducing the clip size is doable. And then I think also banning certain levels of internet sales, because it really is crazy to have laws that allow a human being to order explosives and all this ammunition over the internet. I mean, come on, this is America. Secondly, this is the inconvenient truth. Whenever there are murders of predominantly white people, which is unbelievably tragic, it makes front page news. When there are day-to-day murders of African Americans, white culture has become so desensitized to this that it basically ignores it, reads the paper and goes, ah, so what, and drinks the coffee and goes to the next page. And that could be remedied through an urban renewal Marshall Plan and jobs, training and jobs for all who want it, and better housing, educational opportunities. But this raises a very, vexing question. Why does American culture ignore gun violence in the African-American community, but then it's front-page news when, sadly and tragically, predominantly white people, die? And I think this shows that white America's view towards African-Americans is like they're possibly in Somalia or Haiti. They don't exist. They don't matter. And that's wrong. And I think it's something that, we have to have a rational, sober discussion, because it's true. Thank you very much.
Jim, I really appreciate your call, and I appreciate many good points you made. The specific one, the last one you make, is really salient to me, because I'm here in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I've been getting a real education, frankly, into New Orleans post-Katrina. And the gun violence here in New Orleans is unheard of, and frankly, there's police corruption and all kinds of problems. The Justice Department just last week forced the New Orleans police to root out corruption and to change a whole bunch of laws there. But what's going on in New Orleans is people have turned their eyes away since Katrina, and it's a lot of violence, and it's a lot of black-on-black violence. And you're right, people are focusing on the incredible horror in Aurora, Colorado, and what just happened in Wisconsin, and not focusing on the day-to-day murders between drug gangs that occurs in major American cities, often black-on-black, all across the country.
And not just between drug gangs. Keep this in mind. It's not, people say between drug gangs. There are very, very frequently, there are people who may, own a store or a corner store. Someone comes in and robs them. Someone who gets off the bus and they're walking up, up the street, and somebody robs them and they get shot. When we talk about areas high, say high crime areas or areas of poverty. People will say, well, the drug dealers shoot it out. It's the innocent people who are trying to survive and work and make a living who are terrorized by a very tiny percent of people there who are criminals. But that small percent of people terrorize the rest of the people.
And there's one, the first point he was making about trying to get, groups organized to support gun control of some kind. You don't need progressives to do it. Progressives could lead it, perchance, but even the Democratic Party might be able to do it if they weren't run by or lobbyists of the gun industry who weren't lobbying them. But every police chief in the country supports gun control.
Yes.
I've never heard of one who doesn't. And that's the group that you should really use, is the law enforcement society, the Fraternal Order of Police, et cetera, all these organizations, the organizations of mayors, the organizations of chiefs, get them unified to ask for gun control. Then you might achieve something. There's not one of them that supports the lax gun laws that we have.
We've got a couple more callers online. How about Yuchi? Are you still there, Yuchi?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for being so patient. You've been on quite a while.
All right, 3 points. One, I don't think that all solutions are so simple you can boil them down to one act and that solves a big problem. And I think this is one also. But I think the way that so many people, including most of you guys, are approaching this, you may very well, be patting yourself on the back if you get a success in this one area. But on the other side of the coin, I think you're really sinking the country. And that is, I think there's two ways to deal with laws. Either you try to invoke a law that controls everything that you do so that you avoid doing something bad, or you invoke a law that makes the consequences of your act too heavy to bear.
Mm-hmm.
The first point is the fastest way to get to a fascist dictatorship that I can think of. On the book, you got laws how fast you can walk on what day of the week, whether or not you can look up or down, whether you can look left or right. That's going to a fascist state. Now, granted, this is somewhat extreme, but, the reality is the reality. The other way, where you make the consequences of the act too heavy, I think that allows an individual freedom, but yet they will still have to pay, because when you think about it, just trying to control someone's actions really doesn't do any more than making the consequences of the act any heavier. But on the upside, the dictatorship, you make it very, very possible. So this idea of, controlling how many rounds you have, and granted, I wouldn't want to go hunting a rabbit with an AK-47 either, but the fact that if someone is trying to say, this is what we do, you put in place the mechanisms, for our ruination.
Let me ask you a question?
Let me get to these.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
So I can get off the air. The second point is, the problem is not the guns. I mean, if you walked down the street and saw a cannon, would you be tempted to fire it at a house of kids? No. It's how we are brought, how we are socialized in this country. And just as Israel is always talking to the Palestinians about changing the contents of their educational books, all right, so they can stop socializing their kids to be anti-Jewish, the same thing we have to do here. I'm going to say something that a lot of people are going to say, ooh, ah. Religion has contributed mightily. I mean, if anyone reads the Old Testament, there's so much murder and mayhem in that book, and I think we're living a duality when we try to mask some of it up, rationalize some of it off. It just gets crazy. So here we are living in a crazy world, following some crazy stories, and then we tiptoe around it because we don't want to deal with the issue. And then finally, this idea, and our founding fathers pointed it out.
Yeah, because we got a couple more calls we do want to get to.
I think to think that any government would be impossible. It would be impossible for that government to turn against its citizens, and that includes this country. Remember, Barack Obama just signed the 2012 Defense Authorization Act, which lets people retain citizens on U.S. soil now without benefit of a lawyer.
And I want to thank you for the call, but we do have a couple of callers. Before we get to the next caller, Mark, Terry, do you guys have any comments?
I have a lot to respond to what UG had to say, and I respect your call, UG, but I could disagree with you more. And I think the argument he made is the kind that, frankly, a lot of gun lovers make all the time. They say, if you don't let us have an atomic weapon, if you don't let us have a 100-round gun, that's the same as prohibiting us looking up and down. down. That's what Eugene said. If you don't let me have something that kills thousands of people, then it's just like saying which way I can walk on the street and where I can look up and down. I completely reject that argument. Yes, if we had a law that said you can't look this way or that way, that would be a dictatorship. But banning very dangerous weapons from getting in the hands of crazy people does not mean that we are in a dictatorship. He says that the consequences have to be severe. The consequences are severe. I'm sure that James in Colorado and the crazy man in Wisconsin will both get the death penalty. That didn't stop them, because whatever you do about the culture, there's always going to be a small percentage of people who are absolutely crazy, and you can't ban crazy. So we have to ban very dangerous weapons.
And let's not forget this other, the other thing. Sociopaths, one of the classic traits of sociopath is that they have no fear of consequences. So
right.
For a sociopath, you have to prevent them from getting, which I would argue that the guy out in Colorado was, you have to prevent them from getting the AR-15 with the 100-round clip. I don't care what the consequences are. A sociopath does not associate their actions with consequences, and that's precisely the kind of person that's going to commit this act.
And I think, you know, our caller, and again, I respect you for calling, I think it was Jim, you know, but I also think, you know, you're not thinking the whole thing through, to be perfectly honest. It's a common thing that we hear. Mark sort of alluded to it, that you can't regulate this and you can't regulate that, and we can't regulate this and that because that's not what the Founding Fathers intended and all this. It's nonsense. The point is we live in an incredibly complex world,
yes.
Be that in the financial industry or be that in the weapon industry. It's a much more complex world today than it was yesterday. And
yeah.
That requires supervision, and that requires control.
Well,
it has to be done. I mean, if nothing else, look as a perfect example, look at air traffic and air traffic control. You can't use the same standards, the same ideas to control airplanes today that you did during when Frank Lloyd Wright finally got the plane off the ground. With the kind of weapons that are available today, you need an entirely different, effective regulation. It's that simple. The same is true of the banking industry or any other complex industry.
If they came out tomorrow with a new AR-15 that instead of fired bullets, fired a laser capable of taking down a 747, you know, from the ground, and they could destroy, you know, so now they come out tomorrow with a handheld gun that can fire a laser that can blast planes out of the sky. Would they make the argument that you should be able to carry this? Because this slippery slope argument that, well, if we make a regulation that you can't have 100 rounds, then the next thing you know, it's a fascist dictatorship. You know, it's absurd. But we have a couple other callers, guys. Let's get Mason on the line. Mason has been very patient.
Good evening. First of all, there's no such thing as black-on-black crime. Crime is crime. I never hear people say white-on-white crime, but that's what happened a couple days ago out in Colorado. It was a white boy shooting up white people, but I never heard the media say white-on-white crime. And then another point, you can never get rid of guns in America. America was built on guns in the Bible. The Europeans came over here and stole everything with the gun in the Bible. Manifest destiny. That's where they got that from. They use their guns to take everything they got. That's what they're going to do. And they're so violent, they even got bombs bursting their head in that national anthem. And Francis Scott Key was a number of old racists, and most of the founding fathers were white supremacists. That's the bottom line. This is a racist, no-good, white supremacist country with guns. That's how they got everything they got, and that's what they're going to do to keep it. They dropped a nuclear bomb on Nagasaki, 40 years ago yesterday, because America is nothing but a bunch of savage white racists. And that's what he got everything he got. Have a nice evening, fellas.
Okay, let's go to Mary on line 4. Mary.
Hello?
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call. Wow, I don't want to be like that previous
caller.
Yeah,
I don't think
that's
you can follow that one up. It's going to be tough.
Here's what I think. First of all, this is a big case for the fact that we did absolutely nothing for mental health in this country. That should be
great point.
Free health care for everybody. If you walk there behind into a gun shop, there should be a law that says, I got to check you out. I got to get your background. There should also be a law against 6,000 rounds of ammunition. There should be no guns or ammunition sold on the Internet. There should be an executive order.
I don't think an executive order could do the trick, and I'm not trying to say that Barack Obama shouldn't be pushing gun control, because I think he should be, and I don't think he's been pushing it hard enough. But unfortunately, there's some things that can't be done via executive order. Executive order has to have its basis in some congressional law. Now, you could certainly argue the president has,
maybe we should
has
all
not
dress up
been
like
pushing
the Black
new
Panthers
laws,
because when the
and
Black
I agree
Panthers
with you,
were out in
but I don't think he can do it by executive order. I wish he could.
I need gun laws, so bring back the Black Panthers, and that'll be a start of getting some gun laws.
Well, actually, I'll say this, Mary, and that is that, or to people who want guns, everything proves that they need more guns. You know, after the Aurora incident, gun sales went through the roof. When the president got elected, gun sales went through the roof. Basically, their reaction to, you know, if they said tomorrow, well, I understand there's a hurricane coming, oh, you got to buy guns
exactly.
because,
well,
you know, somebody...
Well, we're a gun-toting group of people out here, and we can change that. It all has to be with education, get rid of the NRA, have a group called Citizens Against Shooting People. You want a gun, go out and hunt a bear, not even a deer. But right now, take off all of the shows on television. If you want to raise a non-toxic child, you got to take them off everything. Put them out. Start over.
Thank you.
Pretend like you're in the Garden of Eden, because I'm telling you, if you don't do it that way, you can forget it. Kiss the world goodbye.
Thank you, Mary. We got.
I want to give a little bit of hope.
Yeah, I was going to say we got some other people.
Whenever we have this discussion, people tend to end up in anger and despair for understandable reasons. It's something that this kind of shooting leads to anger and despair.
Well, most of the weeks after I talk to you and Terry, I have anger and despair.
Yes, but in 1934, the United States banned machine guns. Prior to that time, machine gun violence was rampant in America. It was the Prohibition.
Tommy
and
guns.
They had alcohol running gangs. They didn't call them gangs at the time, but that's what they were. The bootleggers were gangs, and they were running alcohol, and they were shooting each other with machine guns. Machine Gun Kelly, a white guy, shot dozens of people in Chicago in massacres. In 1934, they banned machine guns. And believe it or not, there's been very few crimes, almost none, committed with fully automatic machine guns. So it seems to me that we do have, there is a precedent in the United States of America that if you ban at least a certain kind of gun, that people will get the strongest guns they can possibly buy. But people can't get fully automatic machine guns, and we haven't had many crimes with them. That tells me that if we start banning AR-15s or other things that, you know, use 100-capacity magazines, then people will go back down to rifles and handguns. There'll still be some deaths by guns, but far less.
Let's face the facts, though, in terms of American culture and how to influence it and how to change it. The gun law restrictions really only came out in response to and because of, you know, the attempted assassination of President Reagan and the mutilation of Brady and all the hard work that Brady put into getting some kind of gun control. And unfortunately, in our society, the more outrageous the atrocities are, the more outrageous atrocity we require before anybody will do anything. But at the very least, I would wish, at the very least, that somehow or other, if President Obama gets reelected, this makes no sense if Mitt Romney gets reelected. Nothing makes any sense if he gets reelected or gets elected, period. You know, but if Obama gets reelected, that is the time that we should push him when he's no longer beholden, mm-hmm. but he is beholden now, to fundraising, et cetera, to push him to really get on the bully pulpit about gun control. It's the only way you're going to get it is in a non-election, non-having to raise election money situation.
And I want to make clear, because there are some law-abiding people out there that have guns that are trying to decide who to vote for. I don't know any gun control advocate that has a serious law that wants to ban all guns, that wants to prevent people from hunting or preventing people from having guns for self-defense. All we're talking about is keeping crazy people from owning guns, keeping you from having things like semi-automatic weapons with 100-capacity magazines, that kind of thing, reasonable gun control. And that's frankly the most they're ever going to get through Congress anyway. I think that's something President Obama could achieve in a second term.
To clarify, guys, I'd like to ban most of them, okay?
Yeah, I'd
go way further than this country could ever imagine
with
guns.
But that's not politically going to happen.
No, but I'd like to.
What I'm talking about is politically possible.
Yeah.
But I really do.
It's not, Mark.
If we talk about up what's politically possible, forget it.
The point is you cannot evaluate who is sane or insane in advance. You can't simply do that unless you're going to have everybody lining up taking psychological tests. You have to
But the one thing you can do is take the certifiably insane and make sure they can't get a gun. I mean, that's the start.
And this kind of magazine is not allowed in our society. It's the only way you can do it. You can't just talk about insane people. Because it's not that simple, and most of the murders aren't committed by insane.
And
people.
Let's keep in mind that there are many people. There's a book that I always tell people that they should read called "The Sociopath Next Door." Many people who commit acts. There are many people who don't have a history of mental illness. Who are who like Mark Terry and I are all undiagnosed. Hey, let's go to Nat on line three.
Undiagnosed or underdiagnosed?
Yeah, right. Nat, you still there?
Hey, I know the caller, a couple of callers ago was a brother, and he started talking about Manifest Destiny. I know his language was coarse, but I appreciate you guys not interrupting him because nothing he said was inaccurate. It was just that the manner in which he, presented it was a little off-putting. But anyway, I just wanted to ask the ex-police officer a question.
Yes.
Now, check this out. If you have a shooter who spends $20,000, who's supposed to be a poor college student, gets $20,000 worth of gear, and he can go into a theater geared up, right? And he starts shooting. The adrenaline is pumping through your body. I'm ex-military, I know. Mm-hmm. The adrenaline is pumping through your body so rapidly that for you to walk out the theater and automatically switch off and you're not still shooting, that to me is not normal. I don't know, in your experience as a police officer, have you ever heard of somebody who's supposedly going to be a mass killer and they just shoot up a theater and then they just go into, pause mode and walk out the theater and stop shooting?
Oh,
when they keep shooting, you know what I mean? I'm in kill mode, you know what I mean?
Well, okay, keep in mind what's going on here. You are evaluating a person who is exceptionally mentally ill based on your reality, which in all likelihood you're not mentally ill. So to you, it wouldn't make sense in your reality for somebody to shoot a bunch of people and then walk around, walk outside and drink a cup of tea. However, I have personally spoken to people who have done just such things, people who have killed people and put the person in the chair beside them. Laid them in the bed, walked around like nothing, walked outside, took their car, went for a ride, came home like it was nothing. So you can't evaluate what a mentally and emotionally ill person will do and how they will react. It's not going to be what we would consider normal. And let's face it, the fact that you walk in a theater and you shoot a whole bunch of people means that you're probably not going to act in a way that's rational and in any way, shape, or form predictable.
We know that after he was in prison, James asked one of the jailers how the movie ended. Which is a very weird question. And of course he had his hair dyed to look like the Joker. I don't know whether that's, he's insane enough to not know right from wrong. That's the legal standard. But clearly he had a screw loose. And, the other person I was thinking of is that Norwegian killer, the white.
Yeah.
Killed all the people on that
shot
island.
Shot all the kids, yeah.
Was someone who did so very, very calmly, shot children. So, that certainly is in the capacity of some extremely weird and ill people.
And I think it's important to refute, and I do mean refute, the earlier caller, and yes, it was courteous of us to let him rant a bit, but the whole idea of the white supremacy and all of that in our history, all of that I'm not arguing with. I'm not arguing with that, but that does not reflect the majority of Americans who are of all kinds of races and cultures and personal experience and identity. The majority of Americans, there is no question, are one, not insane. Two, the majority of Americans are not out to kill people. The majority of Americans would support sensible controls. It is simply a fact that our government is now controlled by corporations and lobbyists that allow for this. The American people in whole have changed. Believe it or not, it's a much different mix of people now than it was back in the 1660s or 1760s. Much broader culture. There is not one group that you can sit back and blame and say that's the problem with the whole country. It doesn't make any sense. And they would support gun control if we had the political system and had the guts or the freedom to do something about it.
And I'll add this. The other part of it is this, and that is it's not productive to, you know, to really kind of get up in people's face and yell and point the finger and say this group or that group is, you know, evil and causing, you know, and at the root of all of our problems. It's not a productive thing to do.
Nope.
Certainly here at WPFW, we allow, as long as people, you know, act responsibly and don't use foul language, or, you know, we generally allow people to get their positions out, but it's not a productive thing to do. I would argue that it's the opposite. And the other thing to keep in mind is this, and even if we go back to the civil rights movement and Martin Luther King, ultimately it always comes back not to race, but to economic equality.
Yes.
And right now, the issue, of course, the issue of race is very much tied to economic equality, but we're seeing now with all races that the economic inequality is at the root of a whole lot of our problems. It's been at the root of the race problem, let's face it, since slavery, but now we have to address not to get away from guns, but one of the issues when you talk about crime is that people who are poor are much more likely to be the victims of crime than people who are wealthy.
That's true.
It all ties
in
together.
We did a show last week, and I don't know if that caller was around last week to hear the show we did on the legacy of slavery. Neither Garland nor Terry nor I deny America's bad past or the horrible things that were done by the founders and slave owners and so forth. But I do think that today it doesn't help to blame any one person. I think you said it, frankly, better than I am right now, Terry. There's problems everywhere, and we have to. I mean, one of the things we always talk about is the power of the corporations, the power of the profits, the power of the corporations that run our government and frankly give money to the NRA. But it's important to recognize that obviously there are bad people of all races, and clearly what happened in Colorado and Wisconsin were horrible white people, so it's not a racial issue.
Well, that's
and we're going to be privileged next week, to have an author of a book called Blood Chit, which is about Vietnam, and it's an incredible study of the effect of violence on an individual human being. In this case, the violence in Vietnam, but the effect of violence upon people, whether they're part of committing it or whether they are on the receiving end of it or whether they are witnesses, is so profound and so often debilitating and destructive that we have to look at the true effect of violence on each of us and understand that and admit it and then begin to do something about it politically.
We're running short on time. We have one more caller. Tony, sorry we're short on time, but we can give you 1 minute, Tony, to get in. I certainly wanted to get you online.
Okay, real quick. I'd like to say I think every law-abiding citizen should be able to carry and have whatever kind of firearm they can afford, whatever kind of firearm that they feel is for their protection. I don't trust any government. I watched what the Bush administration did by running into Iraq and killing innocent people like it was nothing. So I don't put anything past a government. And, as far as these so-called crazed shooters with this same M.O., I'm not gonna weigh in on that, because I'm really doubtful when I hear these kind of situations where somebody who's a neurology student, which is most of these cases, the people are, you know, in some type of work like that, and they end up
by this caller's logic, and I have to say this, by this caller's logic that Americans should be able to buy any weapon they want, any gun they want, whatever they want, then this simply means Mitt Romney can get the most guns of anybody in the country. That's what he wants.
And we all get to have a nuclear weapon, apparently.
Yeah, go
I mean,
all
we
the
all
way,
get
Mitt.
To blow the world up. I think
yeah,
that's
you got
not
the money, whatever you want.
But I think we needed to hear that on this show to remind us that there are still people out there, as much as we may disagree with it, there are still people out there who feel like that. And I, you know, with the caller, I respect his, in America, I respect his right to have that opinion. But, that's what we're up against as people who feel see this as a threat.
This.
Yeah, we got 2 minutes, guys.
Many people do want to ban all guns. I'm not arguing for that. I'm arguing for reasonable gun control, the kind that has a majority support among the American people. Specifically, close the gun show loophole. That means you can't buy weapons online. You can't go to a gun show and be insane or crazy or on the terrorist watch list or have committed a felony and get a gun. Everyone has to undergo a background check. And number two, ban high-capacity magazines. Those
Terry,
two things are achievable, and I think you should call your member of Congress and encourage them to support.
Terry, quick last comment. We're just about out.
We got to really deal with this, because this is not only a culture issue, it's frankly a spiritual issue as well as an economic and political issue, and people have to realize the depth of all of these problems and really address them from the entire depth of each problem.
Thank you, Mark. You want to finish us out?
Just to say that please tune in next week. We do have a terrific guest, and I want to thank David Kelly for making it easy for us to come in, me from New Orleans and Terry from Ohio, and thank you, Garland, for manning the fort right there in the studio.
All right, WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington, D.C. My name's Garland Nixon. We're the Raucous Caucus. You can listen to us next week at 7 to 8 p.m. You want to get in touch with me, garlandn@gmail.com. Garland and the letter n at gmail.com. You can, if you got more comments next week. Oh, Brother Ah will be on next.